was holding a bent alkaline battery, which he must have chewed open with his teeth. Although Susan couldn't actually see it, she pictured the viscous battery acid flowing over the edges like marmalade. "Everything's going to be okay," she said, trying to placate him.
"No, nothing's going to be okay," the man protested. "Listen to me. I'm not crazy. I tried to throw up to get it out of my stomach, but maybe I've already digested it. Please, you have to take an X-ray. You have to X-ray my body. The proof is inside me."
He screamed and screamed until eventually the security team came in and restrained him. But they were too late. By the time the doctors rushed into the room, the patient had long since swallowed the battery. A few days before, somewhere in the world, in a town you know, maybe even in your neighborhood. Chapter 1. The cockroach was creeping towards Leon's mouth. Just another few centimeters, and its long feelers would touch his open lips. It had already reached the fleck of drool he had left on the bedsheet in his sleep. Leon tried to close his mouth, but his muscles were paralyzed. "It's happening again." He couldn't get up, raise his hand, or even blink. He had no choice but to stare at the cockroach, which was lifting up its wings as if extending some friendly greeting. "Hello, Leon, I'm back. Don't you recognize me?" "Yes, of course I do. I know exactly who you are." They had christened it Morfitt, the gigantic cockroach from Reunion. He hadn't realized that these repulsive things could actually fly. When they looked on the internet afterwards, they found all these crazy discussion threads on the topic, and from that day on, they were able to add their own unequivocal contribution. Cockroaches from Reunion were certainly able to, and it must have been one of these flight-enabled specimens that Natalie had brought back from holiday 9 months ago. The monstrosity must have crawled into her suitcase while she was packing, and when she opened the case back at home, Morfitt had been sat there on her dirty washing, cleaning his feelers. Natalie hadn't even had time to draw breath to scream before the cockroach flew off, hiding itself in some unreachable corner of the old building. They had searched everywhere, every nook and cranny, of which there were many in the high-ceilinged rooms of their three-bedroom apartment, under the skirting boards, behind the washer-dryer in the bathroom, among Leon's architectural models in his study. They even turned the darkroom upside down, despite the fact that Natalie had sealed the door to her photography lab with light-excluding material and always kept it locked. But it was all in vain. The gigantic insect, with its spider-like legs and bluebottle-coloured shell, could not be found. On that first night, Natalie seriously contemplated leaving the apartment they had moved into only a few months before. "The apartment where we wanted to make a fresh start." Later, after having sex, they had laughingly reassured one another that Morfitt was sure to have flown out of the window to the park, to discover that those of his kind in this town were a little smaller and less hairy than he was. But now he's back. Morfitt was so close now that Leon could smell him. Nonsense, of course, but his disgust at the cockroach was so great that Leon's senses were playing tricks on him. He was even convinced he could make out on its hairy legs the fecal remains of the countless dust mites it had hoarded beneath the bed under the cloak of darkness. Its feelers still hadn't made contact with Leon's dry, open lips, but he already thought he could feel the tickling sensation. And he had a premonition of how it would feel when the cockroach crept into his mouth. It would be salty and scratchy, like popcorn when it clings to your palate. Then Morfitt would slowly but surely force himself into Leon's throat, bashing his wings against his teeth along the way. "And I can't even